Chapter 12. As Violet and Klaus Baudelaire stood, still in their nightgown and pyjamas, backstage at Count Olaf's theatre, they were of two minds, a phrase which here means they felt two different ways at the same time. On one hand, they were, of course, filled with dread. From the murmur of voices they heard on the stage, the two Baudelaire orphans could tell that the performance of The Marvellous Marriage had begun, and it seemed too late to do anything to foil Count Olaf's plan. On the other hand, however, they were fascinated, as they had never been backstage at a theatrical production, and there was so much to see. Members of Count Olaf's theatre troupe hurried this way and that, too busy to even glance at the children. Three very short men were carrying a large flat piece of wood, painted to look like a living room. The two white-faced women were arranging flowers in a vase that from far away appeared to be marble, but close up looked more like cardboard. An important-looking man with warts all over his face was adjusting enormous light fixtures. As the children peeked on stage, they could see Count Olaf in his fancy suit, declaiming some lines from the play, just as the curtain came down, controlled by a woman with very short hair, who was pulling on a long rope attached to a pulley. Despite their fear, you see, the two older Baudelaires were very interested in what was going on, and only wished that they were not involved in any way. As the curtain fell, Count Olaf strode off stage and looked at the children.
"It's the end of Act Two. Why aren't the orphans in their costumes?"
he hissed to the two white-faced women. Then, as the audience broke into applause, his angry expression turned to one of joy, and he walked back on stage. Gesturing to the short-haired woman to raise the curtain, he strode to the exact centre of the stage and took elaborate bows as the curtain came up. He waved and blew kisses to the audience as the curtain came down again, and then his face once again filled with anger.
"Intermission is only 10 minutes," he said, "and then the children must perform. Get them into costumes quickly."
Without a word, the two white-faced women grabbed Violet and Klaus by the wrists and led them into a dressing room. The room was dusty but shiny, covered in mirrors and tiny lights, so the actors could see better to put on their makeup and wigs, and there were people calling out to one another and laughing as they changed their clothes. One white-faced woman yanked Violet's arms up and pulled her nightgown off over her head and thrust a dirty, lacy white dress at her to put on. Klaus, meanwhile, had his pyjamas removed by the other white-faced woman and was hurriedly stuffed into a blue sailor suit that itched and made him look like a toddler.
"Isn't this exciting?" said a voice.
And the children turned to see Justice Strauss, all dressed up in her judge's robes and powdered wig. She was clutching a small book.
"You children look wonderful."
"So do you," Klaus said. "What's that book?"
"Why, those are my lines," Justice Strauss said.
"Count Olaf told me to bring a law book and read the real wedding ceremony in order to make the play as realistic as possible. All you have to say, Violet, is, 'I do,' but I have to make quite a speech. This is going to be such fun."
"You know what would be fun," Violet said carefully, "is if you changed your lines around, just a little."
Klaus's face lit up.
"Yes, Justice Strauss, be creative. There's no reason to stick to the legal ceremony. It's not as if it's a real wedding."
Justice Strauss frowned.
"I don't know about that, children," she said.
"I think it would be best to follow Count Olaf's instructions. After all, he's in charge."